Then you may be seated. All righty. Let's hear for the kids as they go back to 252. Yes. Now, you big people, you can take out your outlines now. You have them in your bulletin. We're continuing in our series, Unbound, Part 12. You know, God is a God of order. He's a God of order. He's not a God of disorder. And the Bible says that let all things be done decently and in order. The Bible tells us that. You see, the God, small g, the God of disorder is Satan. When Satan was Lucifer, he was one of the three archangels in heaven, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer was the worship leader, and pride rose in his heart, and he determined that he wanted to raise his throne above the throne of God. And God wasn't having it. And so Lucifer was cast out of heaven, and a third of the angels went with him. Think about that. 30 angels cast out with him. And the Bible says that when Lucifer fell to earth, it created chaos here. The Hebrew words were, I love these words, tohu bohu. And tohu bohu means topsy-turvy. Chaos, disorder. That's why the Bible says God had to come by the Spirit of God and hover over the Garden of Eden and bring order back to it. And then he set Adam there to keep order, but then Adam sold out to Satan, and here we are today. God is a God of order. Satan is the God, small g, of disorder. Now, I have a quote here. Cynthia Messina gave this to me. It's from Kenneth Copeland. I love this. Get this in your heart. See, this is a heart message. This is so much a heart and attitudinal message. If you can't be corrected, you can't be directed. If you can't be directed, you can't be protected. If you can't be protected, you can't be perfected, meaning matured. God wants to correct you, to direct you, to protect you, to perfect you, because he loves you. See, I've seen people over the years in ministry going way back that they just could not be corrected. They just couldn't. They were hard-headed. The Bible used the word stiff-necked. Usually it was stiff-necked and uncircumcised, but we won't go there. They were stiff-necked. They were hard-headed. They were stubborn. They had not allowed the fruit of the Spirit to take over in their life. And they are always kicking, kicking, always kicking, and not wanting to go with the flow and the plan that God has for us as a church. God wants to correct you, to direct you, to protect you, to perfect you, because he loves you. And today we're in Romans chapter 13. We have two more lessons in Romans. Then we're going to do a new thing. And then in September 15th and 16th, mark this on your calendars. It's after Labor Day. Kids are back in school. It's back to church weekend. September 15th and 16th, mark this in your calendar. We're going to be starting a new series called Eternity. And it's going to fry your mind. We're going to be going into the towns, villages, and hamlets surrounding Sterling Rock Falls. And we're gonna be doing some spiritual terrorism. When I say terrorism, I mean against the kingdom of darkness. We're going to be leaving a sign behind for people to see, to direct their eyes and their hearts toward eternity, towards Jesus. So mark that. That's in September. Pastor Willie George, who's now the pastor emeritus of Church on the Move in Tulsa, Oklahoma, said this: God doesn't bless fear. God doesn't bless unforgiveness. God doesn't bless envy. God doesn't bless self-righteousness. God blesses diligence. If there is one thing I could say about Abiding Word Church, which was once Abiding Word Christian Center, is for 33 years, do the math, 33 years we have been diligent. We have stuck to it. We have listened for the plan of God, and we have done our very best to follow it. You see, the best way to experience God's blessings as a church, as a family, as individuals, is to find out what He blesses and do it. To find out what He blesses and get involved in that. God is blessing this place. So if I were you, I'd want to get on board. I'd want to get involved. If you're watching online, and if you're out of town, God bless you, you're on vacation, or if you're sick or something, we'll pray for you, we love you. But if you're just doing this out of convenience, you need to get off your blessed assurance and get down here. And I'm talking to you. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13 says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Verse 2. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Well, how will they be punished? I don't know. That's up to God. I'm not in the punishment game. That's above my pay grade. That's between you and God. What this talking here about is about your heart. It's your attitude. If you're going around with an attitude all the time, just this obnoxious attitude, oh, I don't have to do what people tell me to do. I got a boss at work. I don't need a boss at church. Or I got a boss here. Or I got a boss. Look at yourself in the mirror when you're saying that. Hello? Question, do you struggle to honor leaders? Particularly with those with whom you disagree. Many people do. But when we allow our minds to be transformed by God's word, we learn some things. It's all about the heart. Number one, we are called by God to a life of submission. Now let's talk about the word submission, first of all. When I was a kid, submission was a very negative word because I, like Mr. Bender, we grew up watching All-Star Wrestling. Fat men in tights. That's what it was. The 60s and the 70s, we had the Crusher, Dick the Bruiser, Mad Dog Vachon, and his brother Butcher. Who names these people? We had Wicked Nick Bockwinkel, Dr. X, Super Destroyer, Mach 2 with Lord Alfred Hayes in his corner, and Bobby Heenan, the Brain, who was part ahead of the Heenan family of wrestlers. And all of these different people had different submission holds. Vern Gagne, who was the father of the AWA, had the Gagne sleeper. I should have Sean come up here and we could demonstrate, but we won't. Because my brothers and I did all of this in the living room. The figure four leg lock. The Boston crab. And everyone's favorite, Baron von Raschke with the claw. Baron von Raschke strutted around like he was some crazed Nazi from Germany. He was a preschool teacher from Wisconsin. How'd you like him? Your five-year-old sitting in school or four-year-old, and in walks the teacher, and he's like, oh my gosh, it's the Baron. He's going to put the claw. Now, these submission holds were put on, and it was to a point. This is before AMA and MMA and all this kind of all these different fights where they tap out. And that's basically what they would do. It would be so painful or they would lose consciousness and they'd say, ring the bell, the fight's over, the wrestling match is over, because usually you had to pin them, one, two, three, you know, just like in the WWE today. But there were submission holds and they were painful and they were terrible. And then I read in the Bible that the wife's supposed to submit to her husband. Sounds like fun. Especially if you're the guy. But if you're the wife, you think, oh my gosh, I have to submit. Now notice it doesn't say obey. It says submit. But this, let me define this in a second. One of our greatest flesh battles is submission. Submission is not obedience. Submission is an attitude of the heart. Obedience is doing. Submission is honor. It is the attitude of your heart. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, which is right. Honor your father and mother. Obey and honor. Now, I no longer have to obey my parents. Why? Because I'm a big boy. I've moved out. I have my own family. I'm on my own. But you know what? I will honor my father and mother till the day I die. That is the attitude of my heart. And that's what we're called to, a life of submission. If I, as a husband, love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, which is my command, it is my job description as a husband, is to love my wife as Jesus did the church. How did Jesus love the church? To death. Well, I don't have to do that. I need to have the same commitment as Jesus did when he dragged that cross through the dusty streets of Jerusalem. That's commitment. That's how I'm to love my wife. If I love my wife like that, then what? Her heart's turned towards me. It's submission. She honors me. Honor, respect, and admire. That's what a wife's to do, is to revere her husband. And if she does that for me, she's in my corner, she believes in me, I'll go through a brick wall, over it, under it, around it for her. That's submission. And our great, one of our greatest flesh battles is submission. In the church, submission means to yield to the will of another. It does not necessarily mean agreement. I remember years ago at the first building, gentlemen in our church, wonderful blessing to me, to the church, to the people, wonderful blessing. And he just went along, and man, things were just doing great. And we went to go to our second building, and all of a sudden he was kicking all the time. And I'm like, man, what's going on? And somebody had been sowing seeds of discord into his heart. You know, pastor doesn't listen to you like he ought to. You know a lot more. And they were sowing seeds of discord into this person's heart. And he ended up leaving the church. And I came to find out, he always said how he was so submitted, his heart was submissive towards the pastor and towards the church, what have you. I found out, really, it was just the first time he had ever disagreed with me. But when he came up to that point, I'm not talking about things that are illegal, immoral, or unethical. I'm just talking about how do you fold the bulletins. Just procedures, just the way you do things. You don't leave church over that. You don't get angry and pull people out over dumb stuff. Okay? Attitude of our heart. Attitude of your heart. If you leave church and you're just angry, man, look in the mirror. You're wrong. You're wrong in doing that. Submission is humility. And the Bible teaches us to submit to government authorities, to spiritual leaders. Hebrews 13. Let's do it from the Message translation. Let's just do that one, Denise. It says, be responsive. Every pastor's favorite verse in the Bible. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Question, why would you want to make things harder for them? Why would you want to make things harder, dude? Why? Contribute to the joy of their leadership. Why? Having a good heart. One of the best things I ever learned in life was when I worked at McDonald's when I was 16 years old. My manager, Ace, hey, Scott D, fill up the ice bins. Okay, I'd fill up the ice bins. We had to go back, fill up this big thing in the ice machine with ice, dump it in there, make sure they had plenty of ice. I'd come back to Chris and I'd say, Ace, Chris, and I'd say, okay, I got the ice filled. Anything else you need me to do? Man, you were just trying to warm up to your boss. Uh-uh. I was there working for him. That paid my salary. And my attitude towards him, he's my boss. He hired me. Anything else you need me to do? Yeah, could you sweep lobby? Check the garbage. Got it. Go get the dust carrier, a broom, and get down. I used to love getting down under the counters and look for stray French fries. Sweeping. Because if Chris came in afterwards, especially at closing, he'd jump down on his belly, go underneath, grab one and go, busted! He'd find one, or a pickle, a stray pickle with ketchup on it, and it was stuck to the floor. Your broom didn't get it. I'm telling you, life in fast food. So our heart is to be submitted. We're to be responsive to our leadership and not be lead to its drudgery. We'll never submit to God, whom we can't see, if we're not willing to first submit to a person we can see. I've had people over the years saying, oh, brother, I don't submit to a pastor. I don't submit to a leader in church. I submit to God. I only submit to God. You know what? You're rebellious. A person who says, I only submit to God, is talking about a God that nobody can see, and that person can make that God, whoever he or she is, say whatever they want them to say. But I'm not submitting to a person. Same spiritual principle as this. I love God, but I hate people. How can you say you love God whom you've never seen and hate your brother who you do see? We'll never submit to God whom we can't see if we're not willing first to submit to a person we can see. Romans 13, verse 3 says, For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. Verse 4, the authorities are God's servants sent for your good, but if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They're God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. Verse 5. So you must submit to them not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Yesterday we pulled up to the church, Pastor Terry and I and Malachi, our grandson. We have him for the weekend. And Malachi is 10 years old. And we pulled in, and we were the first ones here. And we came in the back door, and as soon as you come into the building, the alarm starts going beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep. You got 1 minute to turn the alarm off or woo! I mean, the alarm, has anybody ever been here when the alarm goes off? I'm telling you what, folks. They told us that when they set this alarm in here 10 years ago, I go, why is it so loud? They said it's meant to drive any living thing out of this building. And I think they succeeded. I mean, if there's a mouse in here, the mouse is gone. The mouse is running out going, ah! You know, but it gets you out of here. Okay? Well, Malachi says, oh my gosh, what happens if the alarm goes off? And Terry is going to get the alarm because I had a wedding. I had to go in, get my iPad, and get off to the wedding in Tampico. And so I said, well, then the police comes. Oh no, no, I don't want the police to come. I'm afraid of them. I said, stop. Hey, dude, stop, stop. Wait, wait, wait. What are you going to be afraid of the police for? Because they'll arrest you. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right and those who are doing wrong. Guess what? If you're not doing wrong, no, I'm not afraid of the police. I've never been afraid of the police my whole life. Except when I'm speeding. I take that back. So guess what? I fear them then. Why? Because I've done wrong. I broke the law. Okay, quiet. That's right over there. The issue of submission causes great misunderstanding among believers. Submission and authority. I honor those in authority. We're to be submissive towards those who rule over us. There are different directives, and this is where many get confused in this attitude and in our authority here. Number three, look at this. Number two, we are called to honor and respect our government officials. Oh boy, 2018, this is toxic. This is going to be fun. Hang on, folks. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 says this, remind the believers. How many of you here are believers in Jesus? Oh, really? We got a lot of heathens in here, huh? Are you a believer in Jesus? Raise your hand. You're a believer? Remind the believers, so I'm reminding you. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. Now, let's deal with this. Oh, verse 2. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Yeah, but what if the president doesn't do that? He's not talking about the president. He's talking about you. God will deal with the president. Congress will deal with the president. Maybe the Supreme Court will deal with the president. You pray for the president. You sitting around harping and going on Facebook and going nuts doesn't help anything. The only time we see in Scripture people bypassing the government officials and laws and defying it is when God's laws and commands were being broken. Case in point, Peter and John called in before the council and said, "Preach no more in the name of Jesus. Stop preaching in the name of Jesus." Guess what Peter and John said? No, we're not obeying that. Why? Because that breaks God's law. If it ever comes to that point in our nation where that happens, guess what I do? Lock me up. See ya. That's not now, folks. Right now, we have a window of opportunity. Love President Trump or hate him, he has been a champion for religious liberties. And the door has been open for us to win the lost. Now, down the road with a Republican or a Democrat, that might close. But you know what? It's time to make hay while the sun's shining. And it's time to do missions work. And it's time to do the things that God's called us to do as Christians. Peter and John defied the order to fulfill God's higher calling. Now, let's look at something here, too, that's always entertaining for us. Romans 13, verse 6. It says, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes, too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. Any government workers now? Government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. I tell police officers, I tell school teachers, you are doing God's work. You're serving God in what you do. Verse 7. Give to everyone what you owe them, pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. You know what? If I came home and I had a note from the teacher, or if the school called my parents, my parents aren't like parents today. They didn't go in and start screaming at the teacher like a lunatic about their little Scotty. If I got it at school, guess what happened? I got it at home. Because my dad understood authority. And he knew I had a good teacher. And he knew my principal. And my principal knew my dad. Mr. Gens knew every kid in that school, 450 students, their parents, and what they did for a living. We didn't stand a chance. But there were some parents, even in my day, they would go nuts on the principal, on the teacher. And their kids were brats. I'd love to, as a 10-year-old, pull the mom aside and say, "Stop it, you're making a fool out of yourself. Your child's a terrorist." I ride the bus with him. So thank God for our police, our fire department, our city officials, for our school teachers, for our military that faithfully serve our nation, for our congressmen and women, our senators, our governor, our Supreme Court, our president, our vice president. Why? They're set by God. They are authority, and we are to pray for them. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them all the time. Good God, we don't. But we pray for them. Why? Presidents, leaders are different. There's something different there because God deals with leaders. God will do some freaky things with leaders. He'll wake them up in the middle of the night and something appears to them or speak to their heart in some wild way through a person or something. And you'll see a person who's going this way all of a sudden stop, pivot, and go this way. Oh, it's because of politics. No, it's because God did something. This has happened throughout history. So many times. Pray for your president. Jesus taught on this subject. Matthew 22, verse 17. I love this. Now tell us what you think. These are the religious guys. They're trying to catch Jesus. They're trying to trap him. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? If he says no, that's worldly and all this stuff, then guess what? Then they go to the Romans and upheaval and arrest Jesus. Tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Come on, Jesus. Tell us what you think, baby. Next verse. But Jesus knew their evil motives. "You hypocrites," he said. "Why are you trying to trap me?" Verse 19. Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed him a Roman coin, I have a quarter here. One side's George Washington, father of our country, swell guy, leader, ordained by God to be our first president. Eagle on the other side. They handed him a Roman coin, verse 20 says. And he says, whose pictures and titles are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well, then he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. You know what? Give to George what belongs to George. You pay your taxes. You pay your taxes. Here's what's shocking to me. Many Christians are more faithful in paying their taxes than in supporting the work of God in their local church. You know, if I don't pay my taxes, I'll go to jail. Yeah, you're right. You might. If you don't pay your taxes, you could get in all kinds of trouble. I'm not saying don't pay your taxes. I'm saying what Jesus said, pay your taxes. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's. Bless. Be a blessing in your local church. Be a blessing in your local church. Okay, let's jump ahead here. Romans, we come to the core of the chapter, verse 8 of Romans 13. It says here, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's laws. Love does. See, we no longer have to follow the 10, we have to follow the 1, love. Love God, love people. Galatians 5:14 says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. We're to walk in love towards all people. Number 3, fill in this blank. The life of a fully devoted follower of Jesus can be summarized in one word, love. God funneled it all down to one, love. Jesus said it best in John 13, so now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple. Stop right there. Your love for one another will prove to the world. What will show the world that you're a disciple? Because you're running around saying, this is how much I give at church, or this is how much I'm involved? No, your love for one another will prove to the world. Your love for people in the church, outside of the church, at your place of employment, your love for one another, your care for one another will prove to the world that you are a disciple of Jesus because you walk in love. Love is our life guide. What we should ask ourselves in any situation in life, before we react in the flesh, we want to respond in the spirit. We should ask, how would love respond in this situation I'm dealing with, this circumstance? How would love respond? What would love do? When it's offering time, how much would love give? And how hard would love work for their boss? You know what, one of my greatest joys as a pastor is I'll run into people because I'm in Rotary Club or at the Chamber of Commerce events or different things like this, and I'll run into people who are management or owners of businesses and what have you, and I'll have, from time to time, somebody come up to me and say, hey, you pastor Abiding Word Church, right? Yeah. Well, does so-and-so, are they a member of your church? Yeah, yeah, they're a member of our church. He's my best worker. She's my best worker. Man, when I hear that, man, my buttons start, they're ready to pop. So I'm like a proud daddy when I hear that. You should be the best employee where you work. Why? Because you're operating according to the love law. You're not working for men. You're working for God. I don't care if you're a garbage man. I don't care if you're sitting in an office with a Keurig on the counter. You're working for God. That is, what is that? It's the attitude of yourself. No, I work for such and such company. I get that. They're the one who pays your salary. But you know what? The heart attitude is you're working for God. And you want to be a blessing there as well. Now let's look at verse 10 and then verse 11. Love does no wrong to others, So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. This is all the more urgent. What's urgent? Walking in love. Walking in love is all the more urgent for you now, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Time is ticking away. Time is ticking away. It's going to be our outro music today. Get ready to jump. Get ready to run. Get ready to shout. Why? Because time's running out. Wake up! For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Number four, we need to love. We need to live with a sense of urgency, of love urgency. We need to live with a sense of urgency because time is ticking away. Jesus is coming back. And every day, people pass from this earth. One of my habits that I have as a person, as a pastor, I read the paper. I can't remember the last time I picked up the newspaper. I read it. I have a subscription, so I have my username and password. I read it online. But I read the news. I read the police report to see if there's anybody I need to visit in jail. Welcome to my life. Jeez. And I read the sports, especially if it's local sports. I don't read the local paper for national sports, but for local sports. I read the obituaries. That's what I want to focus on. Oh, geez, I'm going to go to the bathroom now. I read the obituaries. Why? A couple reasons. One is sometimes it's people I know, or it's people I knew of here in our community. Sometimes it's a mother or father of a loved one. I'm in that point in my life where lots of my friends' parents are passing. Sometimes I get asked to perform the funeral services. That's always tough. But I look at the obituaries, and what I think is, did they know Jesus? Sometimes I know they did, and other times I don't know. When I go to Fort Myers Beach in January, Terry and I go down there on vacation in January most every year. At our hotel, we get the USA Today and the Fort Myers News Press. We get the morning paper for the local paper. I love reading the local paper. Any place I go, if they give you the local paper, it's free on the hotel desk up in the lobby. I'll get it and sit down in the lobby. Hotel lobbies are great. I love watching people in the hotel lobbies. And I'll sit and read a paper. And I'll read about the local in Fort Myers, reading about the causeway being built over to Sanibel Island, or about local politics, this and that, or if there's a new shopping plaza going on. Read the news, but I always read the obituaries. Why? Because each and every one of those people is somebody that Jesus died for. And I don't know a one of them, but I wonder, did they know Jesus? What was their relationship? Did they have a relationship with God? And I'll read the bios, because nowadays it's usually not just they were born, they died, but here's where they worked. Here's what they liked to do. Here's the teams they were a fan of. Anymore, you see a lot of times, they were a fan of Chicago Cubs, and we're so glad to see them finally win the World Series. And then I usually start crying when I see that. But you'll see something about a person. What makes them them, their kids, their grandkids, who they were. And I think, did they know Jesus? Romans 13, verse 12 says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Why do we try to blend in with our culture and be like them? God says, come out and be separate. Stand out. It's okay to be different. Point people. You've got the flashlight. You've got the flashlight. Shine it on the path to show them the right way to God. Don't lead them down the path to destruction. They're already on that. Don't join them on that path. Number five, our lifestyle is a beacon of hope to a desolate world. Our lifestyle is a beacon of hope. They should look at you and think, There's something different about you. There's something different. What is it with you? You're different. When they do that, guess what they've done? They've opened the door, and you can step in and share Jesus. Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, you, talking to Christians, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. No, instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. You don't put a light under a basket. You let it shine. You put it out and let it shine out so everybody can see it. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why? So then you can be glorified and everybody say, wow, you did such a great job. You know what? Somebody says you did a great job. You say, thank you. Praise God. God's good. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Okay? Don't let it go to your head. Let it go to your heart. Let it go to your heart. You give praise to God for what's happened, what God's done. Let's finish reading Romans 13. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. This is written to Christians. This is written to you. Decent lives. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness. You know what sickens me? Is going on Facebook and seeing Christians saying, drinking adult beverages at. I mean, seriously. Drinking adult beverages at someplace? You're going to broadcast it? Yeah, I'm drinking booze. I wonder how much they're drinking. Well, I wasn't drinking. I only had one. Well, guess what? Have your one. Don't broadcast it. Don't tell everybody. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity. Notice what all these go together. It's getting quiet in here. They laughed last night at this. They thought it was funny. I think I'm hitting a nerve. Let me tell you something. In 32 years of ministry, the most destruction, disruption, problems I have ever seen in people's lives goes back 9 times out of 10 to alcohol. You drink, you get stupid. You drink, you get dumb. It loosens your lips and you say dumb things. You hurt people. You stab people, you gouge people with your words, with your ideas, and people get involved in this. Wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy, verse 14. It gets better, folks. Instead of that, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Where can we go drinking this weekend? Seriously. Look at the contemporary English version. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be as near to you as the clothes you wear. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be as near to you as the clothes you wear. Then you won't try to satisfy your selfish desires. Why? Because you're walking in light, not in darkness. So what are we called to be? Number 6. We are called to glow in the dark. You're to be a lightning bug, a firefly, if you will. Which reminds me of a wonderful song by the Mills Brothers. Here's who you're to be. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, a little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us lest too far we wander. Love's sweet voice is calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below, above, and lead us on to love. That's it. You let your light shine. You let your little glow, your little firefly, your little lightning bug shine. Here's the problem. We're going around letting our little lightning bug shine here, and we go out into the world, and what do? We turn it off. See, I'm just like you. I'm dark. No, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Quit dimming it. Quit turning it off. Quit pausing it because of the works of the flesh and the people you hang around. Either lead them or get out. Can I get an amen? Psalm 16 says, you make known to me the path of light. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There's a path. You make known to me the path. You fill me with your joy and your presence. If there's no presence of God in your life, your light's going to go out. No presence, no glow. You won't be a glow worm. You won't glow in the dark. We should be walking around and people going, wow, check them out. It's all dark in here, but they're just glowing. They're a lightning bug. If there's a higher presence of God in your life, the greater the glow will be. Have you ever been around someone who just glowed? Yeah, they drank too much coffee. No, it wasn't that. They are glowing because of the presence of God in their life. Light shines the brightest in the darkest places. We tend to believe the purpose of light for Christians is we're just to get together and have glow parties. Now we all have fellowship dinners. We got the tables and chairs now. That's fine. We get together and have church. But this isn't just to be a glow party. No, 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 no. The purpose of church is we come in here out of the darkness to recharge our batteries, to go back out into the darkness to be brighter and brighter and brighter. Psalm 23, verse 4, a very familiar verse of Scripture, it's the 23rd Psalm. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, King James, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Even when you're in darkness, God is with you. Don't forget that. Well, yeah, I'm in darkness. I'm participating in darkness. No, no, and God's with me. Yeah, God's with you, but don't participate. Go into the darkness. God's with you, and let your light shine. Point people to Jesus. So what do we learn today? We're called to a life of submission. We are called to honor, respect, obey government and church and local authorities. The life of a fully devoted follower of Jesus can be summarized in one word, love. We need to love with a sense of urgency because time is ticking away. And our lifestyle is a beacon of hope to a desolate world, and we're called to glow in the dark. So here's your homework, boys and girls. This week, Monday morning, get a newspaper or just go online, StockValley.com or wherever, ChicagoTribune.com, New York Times. I love to read the New York Times obits. Anybody who was ever anybody is obits. See ya. Love ya. Everybody who is ever anybody's obits is in the New York Times obits. And I'll go through there once a month and just look at it. And go, oh, I remember them on TV. Oh, they played on a sports team I liked or different things. Look at the obits. And think about people that you know who don't know Jesus. And start to let your light shine before them. Because remember, time is ticking away. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for loving us. Thank you for your mercy, your goodness, and your love. Thank you for the opportunity to be challenged today to be the people of God you've called us to be salt and light in this earth, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I'd like to see if there's anybody here or if you're watching online. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you've never prayed to receive him, I'd like you to pray with me right now. The Bible says this, that if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you might say, I do. I believe that. I believe Jesus died at the cross, rose from the grave. Boom, good, you're halfway home. Then you need to make a confession and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You'll be saved. By praying, you'll make that confession. You'll receive Christ into your life. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, pray with me now and watching online. You pray right where you're at. Or you might be here and you say, Pastor, there's a time in my life where I did receive Jesus. Maybe you're a little kid at VBS, maybe in Sunday school, or maybe as an adult reading a Gideon Bible in a hotel room or a Billy Graham tract at the post office somebody left. I don't know. And you pray and ask Jesus in your heart. And man, neat thing happened. God changed you. But you know what? You made some decisions. Life happened. How many of you know life happens? And we make some bad choices, and we go down some wrong roads, and we fall back into darkness, and the light goes dim. It's not out. It's just dim. And tonight, today, you want to get that light lit back up bright. If that's you, you pray with us too. You want to recommit, rededicate your life. God still loves you. He's not mad at you. He just wants you to come home to him. So you pray too. So I invite the family here to Abiding Word. Let's lift our voices good and loud. All of us, let's pray together right out loud. Say this with me, and online, you pray with us too. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave, and he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you, who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody look up. Awesome. Well, praise God. I believe that God is doing some cool things, some miracles in people's lives, and those watching online as well. At this time, I'm going to turn over to my wife, Terry. She's going to be receiving the offering. And I want you all to know, I'll be in the lobby after service. Please come up and say hi. If you're new, make sure you stop by, say hi to me, and go over to guest services as well. Yep.
Amen. Praise God. God is good, isn't he?